We continue today with lesson number 24 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We will continue in the seventh perek with the second and third Mishnayos, Perek Zayin, Mishneh Beis, and Mishneh Gimel. Perek Zayin, Mishneh Beis. Dachon. Dachon is a platform extending out from the outer wall of a kira. And in this case, this dachon, this platform, this shelf extending out from the kira, sheyesh bo beis kibul kederos, has, it's formed in such a way that it has room to put in it kederos. When you remove a kedera from the kira, you want to put it to cool off before you bring it to the table or whatever, you put it into this dachon, into this protruding shelf from the outside of the kira, which has a base kibul into which you can place the kedera. Tahor mishum kira. So it's considered as a separate keli from the kira. If the kira becomes tomei, the dachon is not tomei. The dachon is not part of the kira, even though it's attached to it. V'tomei mishum kli kibul. However, this is made of kli cheres. This is a kli cheres, this dachon. And it's mekabel tuma independently, on its own. And therefore, it's tohor. The Mishnah now continues to say, what do we mean by tohor mishum kira? Hatzdodin shelo. So you have this shelf protruding. The shelf, let's say, is shaped like an arc, but the flat part of the arc, the flat part of the bow is up against the kira, and the rest is protruding from it. So the outer walls, which are not in direct contact with the kira, Hatzdodin shelo, they are considered the walls of this dachon. Hanogeya bohem eino tomei mishum kira. Something which touches these tzedodim of the dachon does not become tomei if the kira is tomei, because they are independent of the kira. However, horachav shelo, the broader part of this dachon, the dachon is attached in such a way that its wide part is up flush against the kira, and it narrows as it extends outward from the kira. So the part of it which touches the kira itself is called horachav shelo, so which is up against the kosel hakira. Rabbi Meir mitaher. Rabbi Meir says that remains tohor, that if the kira becomes tomei from inside the kira, even though the gav hakira is also tomei, but that chelek, which is the dachon, the wall of the dachon, remains tohor. For Rabbi Yehuda mitamei, Rabbi Yehuda says no, that wide part is mekabel tumah, because since it is that's the part by which the dachon is attached to the kira, he envisions it as being part of the kira. And the kira is tameh, the rachav is also tameh. V'chein, a similar set of halachos would apply to hakofa es hasal. If a person has a basket is made of wood, really, and this wooden platform turns it upside down so that the bottom of this sal, of this basket, is now facing upward, and upon that bottom, which is now facing upward, you place a kira. V'osal gabov kira. So the bottom of the sal, which is extending outward, the sal is 3 feet wide, and the kira is 2 feet wide. So 1 foot is protruding, let's say half a foot in this direction, half a foot in the other direction. So that part which is protruding from the kira is considered chutz l'kira. and on that thing you place kederos or whatever, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. But the sal itself, by the way, is mekabel tumah because the sal itself is a kliyets, is a wooden vessel which has a base kibul, and it's mekabel tumah. That's Mishnah Beis. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel. In Mishnah Gimel, you must envision a kira. A kira is a cylindrical, but let's look at it as being not a cylinder, but an oval with a length and a width to it. Look at the top of it. It's a long end from left to right and a short end from front to back. And upon it, there's enough room to place two kederos. That's the definition of a kira. So now, kira shenechleko liorko, if the kira is cut along the length of this oval, so now you can't place any pot there because there's not enough room to support a pot. So therefore, this kira essentially has been broken. And therefore, it is tahora, it is no longer mekabel tumah, it's not functional. Ularachba. But if it is cut along the width of the oval, so you can still place one kedera on the left side and one kedera on the right side and cook in between. What you have essentially is two U-shaped klicheres. One kedera can sit on one U, the other kedera on the other U, and in the space in the U, you put a fire. And it's a functional kira, so ulrochpa temeya. However, a kupach, which is much narrower, much smaller, it only has room for one kedera. So there, shenechlak bein liarko bein lerochvo tahora. Whichever way you slice it, it's not functional. It can't hold, no half of it can hold a kedera. Chatzar hakira. Suppose you have a kira, and you fashion another klicheres, which is like a tray into which you place this kira. That's called the chatzar hakira. Imagine a large tray with walls, and the kira is attached to the middle of this tray. And the tray extends beyond the kira, and there too you place pots or whatever on this extension of the tray, which is beyond the walls of the kira. Bizman shehi gavoa shalosh etzbo'os. If the rim of this tray is three etzbo'os high, mitamo b'mago uvo avir. Then, this tray, this chatzar hakira, is considered one and the same as the kira. And if the kira becomes tameh either through maga or through avir, the chatzar hakira becomes tameh along with it, and vice versa. If the chatzar hakira becomes tameh by maga, a sheretz touches it, or by avir, or a sheretz is suspended in its airspace, then nitma'o hakira, the kira becomes tome. Pechuso mikan, but if the rim around the tray is less than three etzbos high, then we're only going to make it, consider it to be part of the kira midrabonon. And the way you know it's only midrabonon is, as the Mishnah continues, mitamo b'mago, if the kira is touched by a dover tome, by an avatuma, the kira becomes tomei, and so does the chotzer, because the chotzer has less than has a wall around it, albeit less than three etzbos high. Ve'eino mitamo ba'avir. But if you suspend avatuma in the avir of the klicheres, or in the avir of the chatzar hakira, in the avir of the kira, or in the avir of the chatzar hakira, it does not become tomei. That's how we distinguish between something which is tomei d'oraisa, it's mitamo b'maga uva avir, versus something which is only tomei midrabonon, which is only midrabonon tomei b'maga, but not b'avir. The question is, how do you measure the airspace, the avir, of this chatzar hakira? So Rabbi Shmuel says what you do is, you take a shvod, a rod, and place it on a slant so that the bottom of the rod is on the top of the wall of the Chatzar HaKira, which could be less than 3 etzbos high. And the top of this rod is resting on the top of the Kira. So you have a nachlachson, you draw a diagonal line, as it were, between the top of the Chatzar HaKira's wall and the top of the Kira's wall. And anything in the airspace below that line is considered Avir Chatzar HaKira. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't draw a line. He says, actually, take a physical rod. Nosein es hashvud milemalon lematon. You take a spit and extend it from the top of the Kira's wall down to the top of the Chatzar HaKira's wall. Uchenegdo, everything below the shvud, below that line, mitamo ba'avir. If a sheretz is hanging in that space, the whole thing is tomei. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov disagrees and says, Nitmeis hakiro, nitmeis hechotzer, that the chotzer is considered to be a part of the kira. So if the kira becomes tome, the chotzer becomes tome. According to some mefarshim, this doesn't matter whether the chatzar hakira's walls are 3 etzbos or not. It's part of the kira. The kira becomes tome, the chotzer becomes tome. However, says